Let's pray, and then we will begin. Christy, if you wouldn't mind leading us, brother, please.
Lord, we are thankful for this day, Lord, for the sun shining outside, Lord, and for the ability and freedom to come into your house as well, and be amongst our brethren this morning. Please guide this service. We pray that you'd be with the preacher, Lord, as he leads the service, Lord, and proclaims your word to us this morning, for a touch of wisdom, for discernment for each of us, Lord, for Holy Ghost power upon him this morning as well. Lord, be with each one, Lord. Fight our side of the battles for us. Give victory to each one this week, we pray. With Norman's court case, Lord, with Steve's results coming through, and some appointments there, with Nana's mom as well, Lord, please, Lord, just intervene in each situation, we pray. For your will and for your glory. Save lost souls and their family and friends, Lord. Be with them. Help us to be a light, Lord. Help us, Lord, to radiate your love and your careness and your kindness, Lord, and your standards as well. Let us show forth that in our example as well. Lord, be with our sister churches, bless them and their services. Feed your sheep today, Lord, strengthen your church. Lord, just hinder our country's leaders with laws that they would introduce, Lord, that would go against your word and your way. Close the abortion clinic in Belfast, we pray, Lord. Drive the spirit of suicide far from this time as well. Protect Israel, please, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Let's begin with number 13. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Hymn number 13 in the wee black books.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah.
Bibles out and follow along with Norman, I hope, as he comes bringing us the reading.
This morning's reading is from Psalm 25 and Psalm 28. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee, let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth. And teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions according to the mercy. Remember thou me of thy goodness, sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will be guide in judgment. And the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For any name's sake, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever towards the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distress. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Psalm 28. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplication when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward the holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the works of their hands. Render to them their desert. Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor their operation of his hands, he shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplication. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people, and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also, and lift them up forever. Amen.
A lot of good verses there. I just want to take a moment or two and remind you to make sure you get one of the little pink prayer lists. It's dated June the 27th and July the 4th. Red?
July 4th.
Pardon?
For July 4th.
Oh, right, right. For Flying Saucer Day. Amen. I want to thank everybody for the prayers for my dad. I think he feels like he got a new eye installed. His eyesight with the new lens has improved drastically, and for the first time in maybe 70 years, he hasn't had to use glasses. The change in it with the new cataract removal and the lens insertion has been, as he says, astounding. So we appreciate your prayers. All he has to do now is keep putting the drops in his eyes for the next week and a half, four times a day, and then I think once a day for a week or two after that. So please do pray. Pray that that continues, that is, we are really pleased about that. If only there were operations and procedures like that for everybody in your body that would make such a drastic change. I could probably put my name down for a few of those myself. But please do remember all of the names. Well, you don't have to remember them all. Please do pray, even just once in the week. There's seven of us here, and if we just covenanted with each other to go through that once. Once in the next 7 days, just read all the names out and bring them into the Lord's attention. Each one of us would be prayed for once a day and all of our private and public prayer requests. So please do remember to have a wee look at those. Yes, Will?
Wait, no.
Haven't heard anything about Lynn since. All of her tests came back okay. Did they send her home?
They sent her home with muscle
relaxants,
thinking maybe it was muscular.
Thank you for that reminder. I think it might actually be on here somewhere, isn't it? Lynn? No. Well, we'll put her... Pardon?
Was it
chest pain? Chest and back pain. But she's been run ragged a bit, so she might just be done out. Her kids are all big enough to do a day's work, and so is her husband. And so she could quite literally have a holiday and be waited on hand and foot. I think the kids are at home too. So, but she'll learn. She'll learn. It only took me 2 days looking after three wee fellas to learn to get them doing the dishes and setting the table and washing up and putting away afterwards, because otherwise your heart's broke running after everybody. Anyway, please, we appreciate your prayers for Lynn. I pray it's not serious. Many years ago, she caught something. Which pretty much means that she can't put any weight on. No, she could eat like a horse and not put any weight on. So, we'd appreciate your prayers, there. We miss Pat and Steve this morning. We're still remembering Leonard, and I would ask that you would remember, Elaine and Hillary. That's Rita's two girls and their families. We had a good, morning out in, we were in Maydown yesterday. We got the whole of Maydown tracked. That does not include Strathfoyle or up where Ling is, but we will be up round your house next week or the week after. It's not a threat or anything, but we will be up putting leaflets in through the doors, the Lord willing. I'm always bearing in mind that about 2 years ago, I remember, and at the start, very start of December, standing up at the Crescent Link with the megaphone, finishing off the wee bit of outreach, and it says, "And Lord willing, I'll be back next week." And next week I was up in A&E, and the rest, as they say, is history. So the Lord willing, we'll be up. I would ask that you would continue to pray. Norman's only got one entry against his name, and that's for a court case. He is, judges and barristers are working their business, and the judge has to be reviewing barrister statements from Monday onwards to come to a conclusion about the very poor behaviour of Norman's stepson, Mark Withington. So just pray as the week goes that this young fella, well, he's my age, would get his... would get a good shake. He needs to get saved. He really does. He is not a good person. He has treated everybody that he's supposed to love very poorly. And he really needs to be brought up short and to be shown the error of his ways. His literal soul is in jeopardy, and the souls of those around about him. So please do pray for Norman and that court case throughout the week. In case you hadn't noticed, I think Frank got his picture in Times Square in New York. Is that in New York? I don't know if you heard that, but he's famous. If you need anybody in New York spoken to, everybody knows his face. He got up on the big billboards in Times Square, so that's a bit of a kick. What was the company that he's with?
Morgan Stanley.
I think we're using him as an advertisement.
Yeah, for the internship. Yeah,
for internship. Frank is famous. So, amen. That's cool. Is there anything else we need to be thinking of? Anything else in particular? Yes, Norman?
The Henry family this morning.
Who?
The Henry family.
Henry family. That's that family that that lost, that was at the start of last week, was it?
Yeah.
Is that the one that Will and your mum, William and your mum went to the funeral of? Okay. Please do remember the Henry family. I honestly can't think of anything else. I don't see anything else. Would you just flip that prayer list open, and they're under private over halfway down on the right hand side. Is your name there? Do you need your name to be there for any private prayer requests? Is your name there? Are you all good? Okay. All right. We will we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing another song or two. Well, if you're game, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please?
To the Father, this day, Lord, thank you for bringing us safe and securely to your presence today, Lord. Go for another word and give us liberally your love, Lord, and your gifts of the Holy Spirit, Lord. And we have marked as you please give us the Spirit, Lord, and touch our hearts, Lord, and bring us more in communion with you, and draw our walk closer and more closely with you, our Father, Lord. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for us, as the Lord. May we share our faith to those that are lost, Lord, and that the Spirit might see it, or people might see it, Lord, and be touched by the Spirit, Lord, we come to the realization, Lord, that they need Jesus as a Savior, and make that ultimate decision to have Jesus as their own personal Savior, Lord. Remember those people in Maydown yesterday, Lord, that received the tracks to the doors or by a hand, Lord, or use it to my life to collect them on those sin, Lord. And also all those of the Crescent Lake also, Lord, that you may use the tracks, Lord, the Spirit to collect those as well, Lord. Don't be financial, Lord, but let not your word return to your word as you've spoken, Lord, but the souls may be mightily saved, Lord. Pray for this day, Lord, we have absent proud, Lord. Pray for Frank, deliver him, keep him, pray for him, and Lord, bless him, Lord, keep him safe by the ring of fire around him, and protect him, Lord, and provide a best message as he's in work, bless him, as he's loved him, Lord. Pray for Aaron, Lord, deliver from any evil, Lord, and keep him from smoking or swearing, Lord, and give him a closer walk with thee, Lord, and spiritually minister unto him, Lord, and bless him and love him also, Lord. Pray for Stephen Carl of John, Lord, save their souls, Lord, and deliver from any trouble, Lord. Pray for Carl and her arms, Lord, and Lord, heal her from that as well, Lord. Pray for Esther, help her from her infirmities, Lord, and from the love and mission, Lord, and all her infirmities,
Lord, yes, Lord.
Lymphoma, and also all her conditions, Lord. Heal her, Lord, and meet her in her point of pain and her affliction, Lord, and heal her from any pain or suffering or problems, Lord, as well, Lord. Pray for Steve and Pat, Lord, help them with their diabetes, Lord, and Lord, be able to give them respite and sleep at night, Lord, and deliver them from any trouble, Lord, and be able to Steve and his results, Lord, deliver them from any trouble, Lord, and heal them, Lord, and stop the pain, Lord, or suffering or discomfort, Lord, also. But for Norman's court case, Lord, may be the righteousness be done, Lord, and the true right, Lord, that may be seen, Lord, and be done with people. We see that there is righteousness done, Lord, and executed by the solicitors or the barristers, Lord, in the court of law, Lord, and may be things done in order, Lord, as well, Lord. With John, Lord, and John Bradfield, Lord, pray for him as well. Thank you for answering prayer, Lord, and his operation, Lord, and help him heal his eyes, Lord, and help him remove any cataracts, Lord. Thank you for your good work, Lord, with him as well, Lord. Help that have been offered, Lord, that her health, Lord, yesterday, Lord, and then you may heal her, Lord, wherever she is ill, Lord. Bless the day, Lord, pray for her number, Lord, and guide us and protect us and help us and guide us throughout this sermon as well, for Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Will. Amen. Let's take our big hymn books, if you would, just for a moment or two. Turn to hymn number 23. There's power in the blood. Hymn number 23. It's been a while since we saw this one.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you your evil a victory?
Give 111 a shot. We've sung it before. Peace, sweet peace, sorry, the gift of God's love. And if you're able, we'll stretch your legs one last time before we open our Bibles. Hymn number 111.
Sweet peace, the gift of God's love.
seated. Thank you very much. Put your hymn books away again. Take your Bibles out, if you would, and turn to the book of Joshua with me this morning. Joshua chapter 18, beginning at verse number 1. Joshua chapter 18, beginning at verse number 1. Please do continue to pray. Just sometimes whenever you're standing up here, sometimes things go out of your head almost as quickly as you go in, as they come in. Please do continue to pray for Christy's granny, Esther. She has a lump in her tummy and still not going to the doctors.
I think it's due to call this month at some stage.
So please do pray for Esther. She's come through a lot. She has suffered ill health for quite a few years now. But she's more like a man in that hopefully it'll go away if I wait another day. But please do pray for Esther as well, if you would. Amen. We are in Joshua chapter 18, beginning at verse number 1. I don't want anybody to draw in. There's that much. There's like four sides of A4. I have parts 1 and 2 at the top. So some of this will probably end up as this evening's service. I will watch the clock and I will... What? If Steve was here, he'd be saying, don't watch the clock, just preach, just preach. But I understand that even the most eloquent of speakers can wear thin on people after a little bit. Unless, of course, it's an episode of Star Wars or your favourite story, and then we've no problem sitting for 3 hours watching. But that's neither here nor there. Anyway, Joshua 18, beginning at verse number 1. Title is, Already Yours. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there. And the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, How long are you slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? That's our text. Give out from among you 3 men for each tribe, and I will send them, and they shall rise and go through the land, and describe it according to the inheritance of them, and they shall come again to me. And they shall divide it into 7 parts. Judah shall abide in their coast in the south, and the house of Joseph shall abide in their coasts in the north. And ye shall therefore describe the land into 7 parts, and bring the description hither to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord our God. But the Levites have no part among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. And Gad and Reuben, and the half-tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance beyond Jordan on the east, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them. And the men arose and went away, and Joshua charged them that went to describe the land, saying, Go and walk through the land and describe it, and come again to me, that I may here cast lots for you before the Lord in Shiloh. And the men went and passed through the land and described it by cities into 7 parts in a book, and came again to Joshua, to the host at Shiloh. And Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord, and there Joshua divided the land unto the children of Israel according to their divisions. Amen. Verse number 3 is our text. I want to spend a little bit of time on the subject of It's Already Yours. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you again for the life and health and strength that you've given us. Lord, for this wee taste of summer that we're having as well. And Lord, for the desire and the freedoms that we still have to be in your house on your day. We thank you, Lord, for safe travels. Thank you, Lord, for all the things that you've done for us, even getting us up out of bed and being able to flick the kettle on and make a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. Lord, there's so many things we just take for granted. I pray you, Father, please, that you would be one of our number, that you would walk up and down the aisle here, that you would speak to each one of us, that you would work in our hearts and minds, whether it's to do with this message or something else that's been on our hearts. Pray you for answers. I pray you for boldness, for strength, for comfort, for direction, for purpose. Lord, you know. And not just ourselves, Lord, but I think especially on Stan and the folks up in Bangor. I pray you too, Lord, for Ed Bissett and his family and church family. Lord, for Francis Cosgrave, wherever he is in the world, for the Foxes, for the Haynes, the Asquiths, Lord, for the Sealys and the many other men that are preparing to stand and preach, and for those, Lord, in countries where it's illegal and it's getting like that here too, Lord, I pray you please that you would greatly hinder the devil as he does his best to hinder your children. Lord, we just thank you and love you. We pray that you come quickly. We pray you, Lord, that you would preserve and protect and prosper Israel in the face of our enemies continually. And Lord, pray for our own country, for our leaders, for America, for China, for Russia, Australia, Europe. Lord, the whole shebang, please greatly convict, Lord, greatly convict and withstand those that are set on wrongdoing and mischief. Lord, protect our brethren. I pray, Lord, that we would stand and fight for our rights, for our Christian privileges. And Lord, that we would always keep our eyes on you, no matter what. We love you and thank you. Please bless this time in your presence, our tithes and offerings. We just thank you we're able to stand here even and sing. And I pray you, Lord, for Frank, for Christine and Marianne, for Elaine and Hilary, for Esther, for Pat and Steve, and of course for each one of us too, Lord. Please, I pray you the words to speak. I pray you, Father, for the thoughts, and I pray most importantly again, your will be done. We love you and thank you, Lord. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Verse number 3 is our text, where Joshua, who was the leader of the children of Israel, asked this question: how long are you slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers have given you? These are, of course, the words of Joshua as they stand on the Israel side of the Jordan. The children of Israel have landed in the land, pretty much, and the Lord actually said earlier on that I'm not going to drive the people out before you all at once. You'll have to go in and take the land. Because if I drive out all the people, if I send a plague or whatever it is, the land will lie fallow, and fields and cities, they'll just fall into disrepair. So I'm going to keep the people there until you're ready to take them. And then you can literally walk in and it will all be yours. And we know from reading of the many accounts of battles that oftentimes people's hearts melted before them. Jericho being one, Ai was put to the sword in its entirety, and every single one was a victory for the children of Israel as long as they asked for God's guidance. The Lord said, you'll have to go and fight for it. You'll have to take it. But I want for you to understand something. This is the promised land. This is the fulfillment of a promise that has been about 600 years there, give or take, in the making. Didn't he say to Abraham that he would make of him a great nation? He took him out of his land and brought him into, and said that his seed would inherit the promised land. And there was a wee dander over to Egypt for 400 years. There was 40 years in the wilderness, and here we are. They've come through a lot. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the children of Israel, that's Jacob in the promised land. So I would say 100 years before, 400 years in Egypt, and another 40, so at least 550 years, give or take. We tend not to think of things taking that long. Literally, if we were to go back 500 years, you're talking about the goodness, the 1600s, give or take? That's when the King James Bible was being put together. And if that gives you any idea that there were many enemies, the Catholic Church did its very best to destroy the King James Bible and assassinating many of its writers. This is where we're talking about 500 years ago. But so 500 years of a promise. All the years in service to the Egyptians, all the times roughing it in the wilderness, all the years keeping their eyes upon God, it toughened them. It prepared them mentally and physically to come into the promised land and to take it, like the Lord said. The Lord never asked them to do, they didn't have to do anything more, they just had to do what they had been doing. Obey the Lord, fight their enemies, take the victory, and settle the land. Now, if you want to read on from here, there's another chapter or two beyond that where it actually does give the details of what portions of land that each of the, what was it, the seven tribes hadn't quite picked up. But it got even better for the seven, for the 9.5 tribes that were left on the promised land side of the Jordan, because the tribe of Gad and the tribe of Reuben and the half tribe of Manasseh, they didn't take any of the promised land. So what they would have had was split up amongst the rest. I'm sure there's a lesson on that all by itself. When God has something for you, no matter how good everything else looks, take what God gives you. It will save you a lot of heartache in the meantime. I think I worked it out, and it was give or take about 20% more each tribe got, because the tribe of Gad and the tribe of Reuben and the half tribe of Manasseh took possession on the far side of the Jordan. Anyway, this caused some friction later on with some of the tribes, because of their geography. They set, the 2.5 tribes set up an altar. And the other tribes were quite upset about this, because it looked like they were setting up an altar to a different god and they were about to go to war with them. But again, that's a different story, and it shows you what can happen when you don't do it the way God says to do it. But we've been here a while. There's a few tribes have taken their land, and Joshua's saying, what's the problem? Why have you not gone to possess the land that God has given to you? Now, there are another couple of accounts of Jericho. You know, the spies that went into Jericho. The people were desperately afraid of the children of Israel. And they locked the doors, and you all know the story about how the walls came tumbling down because they did what they were told. But you need to remember to do things the way God says them. Now, I got to thinking about, there's a lot of names, and I'm not even going to embarrass myself by trying to pronounce the names of all the places that Joshua sectioned off for each one of the tribes. Like if you're even to go down to verse 14, Kirjath-Baal and Kirjath-Jearim. Anyway, that's just the, I think, the easier ones to mention. Anyway, this is where we stand. Remember, the Lord said to Abram, get you out from among your brethren. And he took Lot with him. And he said, do you know what? I'll make of you a great nation. Them that bless you, I'll bless. And them that curse you, I will curse. And he said, in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And we're still receiving of that blessing today. The Lord has made a great many promises to us. And this is what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about the things that are already ours. But in many instances, even in my own life, I'm finding that this challenge, this question that Joshua asked the children of Israel, is could almost have been leveled at me. And I like to think that if God has offered me something, I'll be first in the queue with my hand out to accept it. And if only it were that simple. It's not that simple. But God has made a great many promises. For the lost soul, even for the soul coming not knowing anything, not even their left and right hand, God has promised salvation. The thing is, that salvation is at the foot of the cross, and people have to go to the foot of the cross. Just like Joshua said, how long are you slack to go to possess the salvation which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? That is the question to Well, to every lost soul. When are you going to get saved? Why don't you go and get saved? It's there for you. All you have to do is repent of your sins and ask Jesus to be your Savior. That's it. It's not rocket science. It's so simple a child can do it. So why have people not gotten saved? That is a promise. That is there for people. The only people that's making it difficult is the devil and the world and people's feelings. I like the verses in Romans 10, and I use them many times as I knock on the doors, and it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's it. It's not big, it's very clever, it's not complicated, but it goes on to say in verse 11, the scripture saith that whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, as it says in Romans chapter 1, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's you and me, friends. Something else that God has for us is the promise of a guarantee. Now, God has that guarantee. It's a little bit like buying a fridge. You get a year's guarantee on it. If you want to spend another whatever, X number of pounds, maybe you'll get 5 years. But you have a year's warranty. And you can break your fridge and you can go and buy a new one within that year's warranty if you want to ignore that warranty. But there is a certain element of safety in knowing that you have a warranty for this new thing that you have. And you know what? God has a warranty for this new thing, this new creature that we become when we get saved. And it is the verses that literally changed my life, and it took me from the pew to the pulpit and around the doors, not worrying whether I was doing enough or doing too much to preserve my salvation. I would have been well stuck at the start of last year if I was dependent on my works to get me to heaven, but I'm not. In John chapter 10, verse 27, the Lord said, you know what, my sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Says my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. In other words, once you're saved forever. For free and for sure. But Jesus keeps you in the palm of his hand. If you were as valuable as a pound, you might think, well, do you know what? I could slap that pound out of your hand, but not whenever my other hand is on top of it. And that's what the Lord has promised to us. A cast iron guarantee that our salvation and our home in heaven is not dependent upon anything or anyone else. It's dependent upon him. A lot of people say, but the devil's smart and he walketh about like a roaring lion, and if I ever make a mistake, he'll just dash in there. Yes, he will dash in there, and we need to be careful. We'll come to him in a little bit. But even the devil is referred to as a man in Isaiah 14. Is this the man that caused the nations to tremble? No man can pluck you out. No angel would want you out. No soul in heaven that's already walking the streets of gold would want you out. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and no Christian in their right mind right here would want you to stop being saved, or can stop you being saved. God gives you a guarantee. All you got to do is take him at his word. Trust him. Something that I suppose nearly as a point of conversation, not as you're a young person, but as you get older, about any regrets that you might have in your life. I think we had a bit of a conversation that way not so very long ago. And if I had known the things now that if I had known the things when I was little that I know now, I would have done a lot of things differently. A lot of things. Thankfully, as a saved man, faithful in church, tithing, outreaching, preaching, teaching, just doing whatever I could. I don't have any regrets from doing those. But the Lord says, I will give you a life that will work out for the best for everyone around you and for you. if you get saved and you listen to what I say. In Romans 8 and 20, we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are the called according to his purpose. It's there for you. All you got to do, A, is get saved, and B, do what God says, obey him. Now, a lot of things in this world are provisional on who you know or being in the right place at the right time. God gives, or maybe even who you are, what family you were born into, but God doesn't care about those things. The only family that it's important you're born into is God's family. And the Bible says that God did not give us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we can cry, Abba, Father, because God's no respecter of persons. Acts chapter 10 says, this is when Peter, if you can recall to mind some of Christie's preaching on Acts chapter 10, verse 34, Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, that's no matter who you are, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of. Everybody gets a fair shake. Every man, woman and child, all they have to do to get to heaven is repent of their sins and trust Christ as their Savior. Every man, woman and child that accepts Christ as their Savior can do something for Jesus. I don't know what it is. The Lord will reveal it to them as they read the scriptures, as they seek the Lord's face and guidance and direction from him. But that's for everybody. Everyone that can walk and talk, even if they can't walk and talk, still have a job to do. Might only be calling people's names out to the Lord and praying for them and interceding for them. Or it could be making sure they get that leaflet. Or maybe even speak those words into their ears. But everybody gets a fair shake. And everybody's treated equally by God. Everybody's the same opportunity to become a Christian. And everybody has the same opportunity to behave like a Christian, to serve as a Christian. I know sometimes people have their golden-haired, blue-eyed boys. And it actually irked me greatly when my sister said to me many years ago, your mom's golden-haired, blue-eyed boy. If she was still alive, I would be her silver-haired, blue-eyed boy. But it's not nice that to think that you've been treated as a favorite over your brothers and sisters. And God doesn't do that. Probably one of the greatest examples of that is in the Word of God. Does anyone ever recall one of the names of John? The disciple whom Jesus loved. That's what they call John. He's the disciple whom Jesus loved. He's Jesus' golden-haired, blue-eyed boy. But the truth of the matter is, and it's evident from the book of John, that John spent many hours in private conversation with Jesus and his family, and he was there when the rest of them went home to jobs or to wives or families or parents. And he just found out more and walked more closely with God. And yes, it seemed that whenever everybody turned up, John was there. And when everybody left, John was still there. And he didn't leave maybe till much later. It wasn't that Jesus loved John more. It's that John loved Jesus more. And it's the same for us. We can walk as closely with God as we want to walk. Anyway. Another promise of God is for better things. And it's there for us. A lot of times God, we don't have room in our lives for things, and God can't give us better things because our lives are choked up with stuff already. And one of the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, you know what? He was talking about the rich young ruler and the way the Lord challenged him to sell all that you have and give to the poor and take up your cross and follow me. And the rich young ruler went away with his smile turned upside down, and the Lord said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go into heaven. And the disciples said, Lord, we've left a lot for you. not that we've had to give up a lot, but in order to follow Jesus, there are things that are just not compatible with the Christian life, like drinking and smoking and bad language and things like that. And the Lord said, look, there's no man that has left house or brethren, sisters or father or mother, wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold. Now, in this life, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children and lands, of course, with the persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. A lot of the times we don't get the blessings that God has for us because we're too busy blessing ourselves. And you know what? If you have money to spend, that's fine. Spend it and enjoy it. And I'm not being smart. Enjoy everything that you have. But don't let them be your God. Sometimes God will ask you to give something up. And it's just, that's it. He'll ask you to give something up. And the reason for it is because he has something much, much better for it. But that's dependent upon us making space for God in our lives. And then he will give us better things. We have a great inheritance as the as children of the Lord. It's in the Beatitudes, but I picked a verse from Psalm 37. Some interesting verses in there. It says, the meek shall inherit the earth and delight themselves in the abundance of peace. That's not talking about now, because there's no abundance of peace in the world right now. Every liar and thief, that the very worst of society, has become our greatest citizens. More often than not, I think there's, what do you call that fella that's getting a hard time in the press right now, in the English press? Matt Hancock. He's getting hauled over the coals because he's shacked up with a woman, or he's keeping another woman on the side with his wife, and everybody's saying, oh, you shouldn't be doing that, but the Prime Minister did exactly the same thing. Why isn't he being hauled over the coals? Anyway, the Bible says the meek shall inherit the earth. What? And there is the promise of that in Revelation 20, where it talks about the Lord ruling and reigning upon the earth for 1,000 years, and it talks about us being kings and priests. That's about the only place I can figure a Christian will ever be a king. A little king, and Jesus will be the King of Kings. But the Lord said, not just here in this world, but in eternity, let not your heart be troubled. In John 14, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. There's a home for us in heaven too. And he also said, if that wasn't the case, I would have told you. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, what? That where I am, there ye may be also. But there's also an inheritance for us here and now. There's the job of the children of the King of Kings, and that's to seek and to save that which is lost. As we read on, we find out we have a true friend. Everybody knows the verse I'm going to quote. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and that's rightfully enough. If you want people to like you, be likeable. But he says, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In John chapter 14, we have the quoted words of Jesus Christ himself saying, look, I have to go, but I will not leave you comfortless. I will send another comforter, capital C, the Holy Spirit. And then there are further verses in the scriptures that tell us that it is the Holy Spirit that seals us until the day of redemption. In other words, again, the Son has us in the palm of his hand, the Father has us in the palm of his hand, and the Holy Spirit seals us until the day of redemption. We are sealed inside out and back to front, and every which way we're sorted. But a lot of people, Christians included, never cultivate this friend. We have a friend that wants the best for us and wants to give us a life. And that doesn't mean that we go out and party and this, that, and the other. I remember being asked of people when I worked in Desmond's, have you no life? All you do is go to church 2 or 3 times in the week, and you have a Bible study on the Friday, and I was just even thinking about maybe getting that rolling again once in the month to see how things go. And I said, but you have to remember, as part of all of that, I'm being fed. I'm being taught new scriptures and new doctrines. And then we get to go out into the town a couple of times in the week. And we get to practice and we get to tell other people. And it is a war. It's one that we don't see. It's the war that's fought in men's souls for their salvation. And you know what? There's very few people. I think it was one. Was it Gehazi? Was it Elisha's or Elijah's servant? I can't recall off the top of my head. But their city had come across hard times from the enemy, and everybody was afraid. And I think it was Elisha, and he said, Lord, just open their eyes a wee bit there and let them see. And all around the enemy were fiery chariots. The enemy was completely surrounded. We don't see the war that's going on. We have a true friend that keeps us. And if we don't cultivate him, and if we don't listen to him, if we don't bear our soul to him, if we don't read what he wants, he's not going to be a friend to us. Yes, he'll seal us, and yes, he'll be there for us. And whenever the rapture comes, and I'm praying it does come before we come across any more heartache or grief, he'll take us up to heaven. But imagine living your whole life literally joined to God and not doing anything with that. This very thing that Jesus Christ knew that we would need. The past 2,000 years have been so wicked and so anti-scriptural and anti-God and anti-Christ. The Lord knew that we were going to need the indwelling of the Holy Spirit every moment of every day. We ought to cultivate and we ought to be good to our friends. Does the Bible not say, don't grieve the Holy Spirit? Do what it says and you will, I was going to say you'll find rest unto your soul. You will find rest unto your soul. You will find joy that the world can't give, and you will find thrills that the world tries to substitute for and counterfeit and pass off as equally fulfilling. Do you know the thrill in obeying God and fighting for a man's soul or a woman's soul on the doorstep? Knowing that the angels are fighting the very demons of hell for the soul that you're testifying to and speaking scriptures to. And I'm away off topic. And all this is down to the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Another thing that we have is the ear of God. And a lot of people, we don't actually think very much about that. There's no saying that a trouble shared is a trouble halved. If we share our troubles with God, they don't just halve. Many times they just disappear completely. In John chapter 16, the Lord said, in that day ye shall ask me nothing, because verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask in my Father's name, he will give it to you. In other words, when you're praying to God, now tagging in Jesus' name onto the end of a prayer of you needing a new Lamborghini Countach or Mustang is not going to have one park outside your door. It means if you ask in Jesus' name, it means if you ask according to the Lord's will. And the more you walk and talk with him, the more your will align with his will, and you will start to see and notice your prayers being answered. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, in verse number 16 it says, through Jesus Christ let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know what that means? Because you're saved, you can literally walk into God's throne room in heaven and you can talk to him. You can talk to him about anything. It doesn't have to be about affairs of state. If you walked into the presence of the Queen, you're not going to be talking to her about your high score in Tetris or Candy Crush. Hey Liz, my high score in Candy Crush is... The Queen is not going to be interested in that. She has got bigger fish to fry. But you know what? God doesn't. I once heard a preacher say that there is nothing on your mind that's so small that God isn't interested in it. And there is nothing in your life that's so big that God can't help you with it. Back in Old Testament times, and we're talking about a king. I think it was it King I remember the high priest was Jehoiada. Anyway, I think it was the child king. And what the high priest, the king would sit in his throne room and he would have soldiers lining the throne room. And anybody that came in that was an enemy would be killed like that. Even, was it Esther? Whenever she was made queen, she hadn't been called by the king for a few days, and this was a great crossroads in the history of the Jewish people, because there was a law had gone out into the land to kill them. And Esther's uncle Mordecai said, "Esther, just because you're the queen of this country, don't you think that the sword will pass you by if this goes on through?" And says, "Who knows, but for such a, that you're here for such a time as this." And she said, "But the king hasn't called me. And if I go into his throne room unannounced, unrequested, my life's forfeit. The soldiers will kill me. Unless he extends his scepter." So she walked into the king and he extended his scepter and her life was spared and she presented all her petitions. But Jesus has gone through all of that for us. He has suffered the death and punishment for us so that we can come boldly and say, "Lord, I can't get past this level in Candy Crush." Or maybe, "Lord, my heart's breaking over a church member, over a wife or a husband or a child or a mom or a dad or some of these people that we've been speaking to, the parks that we've been putting the tracks into. Lord, my head's turned. I don't want anything other than your presence just for 15 or 20 minutes." Whatever it is, you have the ear of God. And you can tell him about everything. And there is no thought that you have is too trivial. God doesn't know it already. And there is no thought so secret buried in the depths of your heart or your soul or your mind that God doesn't know that already too. You can talk to God about everything and you should talk to God about everything. I remember even years ago, there was a fella in work, and I've shared this with you before. I can see his face and I can't remember his name now. And he used to annoy the life out of me. He used to get upset with me. And I said, "Lord, why does this guy always get annoyed with me? No matter whenever he comes in, no matter the day I'm having it, it turns into like a verbal feud." And the Lord said, "You know why, Mark? Because he's just like you. He's a smart mouth. He's always cracking jokes and taking a hand out of people. Let him have one. Let him take a hand out of you just once. Let him have his glory for a moment or two." And it did. I didn't try and one up him. I didn't try and beat him. And after that, his whole demeanor towards me changed. Those are the things that God will help you with. "Lord," who has never lost their keys? "Lord, where's my keys?" I remember losing my keys. And I remember thinking, "Where's that key? It's the only key I have." Or we're down to one key now. And I just went up to bed and prayed. And the Lord said, "Well, you got out of the car and you don't remember having your keys after taking them out of the ignition. So go back to your car." And I did. He said, "They're not there, Lord." And he says, "Whenever you come before me, you get on your hands and knees." I said, "I got my hands and knees just underneath the car. The keys had fallen out of my pocket and bounced underneath the car behind the wheel." A lot of that. Anything. You have the ear of God. Use it. It's there. It takes less effort to talk to God than it does to contact your nearest friend. Because you can talk to him Without words, just in your mind, or you can talk to him in whispers, or you can find a spot equidistant between all the houses in the Maboy Road and just shout your lungs out. God's still going to hear. I see the time is marching on. I'm going to do one more and then we'll come back. One or two more and then we'll finish off this evening. It says we have the help of God. Not only do we have the ear of God, the eyes of God are always watching over us. They rove to and fro across the earth. We have the help of the Father. We have the help of the Son. And we have the help of the Holy Spirit. One thing has always irked me a little bit is angels. It's not angels per se. It's the fact that so many people have so many statues of angels. And then because of that, a lot of people actually pray to the angels. The angels are not gods and they don't answer prayers. It's God Almighty that answers prayers. He's God. Angels are ministering spirits, the Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 1. God sends them to help us. That's their job. They are sent to do God's will in our lives. And whenever you lift up your prayers to God, God may choose to send an angel to help you. He may choose an angel to go and put a nail in front of your car so that your tire goes flat. Or he might have a belt fail or a lace fail so that you're held up and everybody's wondering, how is that supposed to help me? You never know what you're spared just by sitting tight for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, a half an hour. It could be putting just a good thought in somebody's mind. Somebody maybe will be praying, how could I help? How could I help Christy? How could I help Norman? Or how could I help Ling? Or how can I help Will? Or how can I help my wife or Esther or anybody else in the church? How can I help them? Or Pat and Steve? And the Lord might just put something on your mind that you get to go and do. And you get to be part of answering somebody else's prayer. But it has come from God. You remember also that the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, he sits at the right hand of God interceding for us. Even now, when the accuser of the brethren comes up and says, oh, there's Mark standing in church preaching his lungs out, great message it is too, but he was up to that, Lord. He said a bad word the other day, he thought something bad or whatever. He was mean to Monica. It was that mean that she's laughing, yes. And the Lord says, but Father, I paid for that already. That's already paid for. The Lord intercedes for us. And the Holy Spirit delivers us all of the things that God promises us. It is through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, our sonship. That's in Romans 8, by the way. Romans 8's got many, many good verses. One last one, and then we're done. Isaiah 40 and 31, you ladies may not be as familiar with that as the gentlemen in the church because it's hanging in the men's bathroom. It says, they that wait upon the Lord will mount up with wings as eagles, shall run and not be weary and walk and not be faint. That's there for you when you wait on the Lord. And that doesn't mean, I wish he would hurry up. When you're waiting upon someone, you're serving them. You're doing what they ask you to do. And as you do the things that God asks you to do, you will find a lot of things that used to slow you down, that used to confound you, that used to beat you. You just won't. In the same way that, does anyone remember whenever there was the big, was it the foot and mouth outbreak here about 15 years ago? And they were spraying underneath the cars and they were freaking out at the border when you went to get your cheap diesel. They had you running over like a big tin tray with brushes full of disinfectant so that your car wheels wouldn't bring foot and mouth disease across the border. I remember how many eagles walked across the border and dipped their feet in that. I remember the eagles don't do that. The eagles soar far overhead and none of the things that's happening on the ground bother them at all. And an eagle at the height of its power, even a rifle can't hit it. It is that far above the earth, and that is the promise to you and I. It's already made. It's already ours. All we have to do is go and get it. There are many more blessings. We'll finish them off. I pray it hasn't been too tedious as we listen to them. But the thing about it is, the amount of effort we spend on things in the world would be far better rewarded being put into these promises, not making God give us these promises, but turning up to avail of these promises. And they could be ours. They are ours. All we got to do is accept them. Is be there when they're handed out, because they're already handed out. Just like Joshua knew of the children of Israel, the hardships that they'd gone through, and that God's hand was upon them, and he said, the stuff is already there. All you have to do is go get it. You're prepared for them. You're saved. I pray that you are. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You have the scriptures on your knee. That's literally like a checkbook signed by the blood of Jesus Christ, in the blood of Jesus Christ, and many Christian martyrs waiting for you to take at face value. It's there for you. It's there for you. I want to close with another wee verse that we were reading a long time ago, or just in the past week or two. 1 Kings 6. Concerning this house which thou art in building, if thou wilt walk in my statutes and execute my judgments and keep all my commandments to walk in them, then I will perform my word with thee, which I spake unto David thy father, and I will dwell among the children of Israel, into which we are adopted, and I will not forsake my people Israel. God will bless you. That's the promise. We're stopping there. We'll finish off this evening, and amen. We'll sing a song, and then we will be dismissed. We have one more song to sing. I think it's creased in here, is it? Hymn number 127. Let's stand as we sing, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." Amen. "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know that saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace to trust him more. Oh how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing blood. Jesus, precious Jesus, oh.
trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, will be with me to the end.
Good time and your songs picks. They worked out very nicely. Pray you have a good day. Look forward to seeing you at the next appointed time. And amen. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for life and health and strength, for a time in your presence. And I pray you, Lord, please, that you would just make us mindful of your many promises and many gifts and the stuff that you have for us in this life, Lord. We love you and praise you. We pray for those lost souls that were mentioned, those that have been ministered to over the years. I pray you even now that you would convict and save. Help us, Lord, I pray you, as we go, please see us safely home and back at the next appointed time. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, Lord. Amen. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit. Amen. Yeah.